Tonight's shiur is on the Parsha of Vayetze, which is this week's Parsha, and the title of the shiur tonight is Rachel's Struggle with Infertility. I want to take up the first area about Rachel's struggle with her infertility, which results in a fight with Yaakov, and I also want to address when she actually has children, what her reaction is. And hopefully there's a connection between the two. We'll gain insight into the purpose of her struggle with infertility, what Rachel gained from it, and why that was the case. Let's look in Bereishis Perek Lamed, Pasuk Aleph. I'm going to read through the Psukim as usual, explain the Psukim, and then we'll do Rashi and the Ramban, two different approaches, and then we'll go to the next area, which is when she actually had the children and her reaction. Look in Bereishis Perek Lamed, Pasuk Aleph. It says, Vatera Rachel ki lo yaladol Yaakov, vatekanei Rachel ba'achusa, vatomer Yaakov, havalivanim bim'ayin mesa anochi. Rachel saw that her sister Leah was having all these children, and it was easier for her to have children. And she was jealous of her sister, of Leah. And she said to Yaakov, give me children, and if not, I am dead. Vayichar af Yaakov b'Rachel, vayomer hasachas Elokim anochi asher mana mimech privaten. Yaakov gets angry at Rachel, and he says, am I in place of Hashem, who prevented you from having a fruit in your womb, to having children? Vatomer, she said, Hine amasi vilha bo eleha veseleid al birkai v'ibane gam anochi mimena. What happens? Rachel says, here, take Bilha as a wife, and she'll give birth, and I'll build through her. Vatiten lo as Bilha shivchasa le'isha v'yavo eleha Yaakov. Rachel gives Bilha to Yaakov, and Yaakov is with Bilha. Vatar Bilha v'teled li'Yaakov bein. They have a child. Vatomer Rachel names the child, Danani Elokim, Vigam Shema Bekoli, Viiten Libain, Al Kain Kara Shemo Dun. She calls him Dun because Hashem judged her favorably. Vatar Od Vatel Bilha Shivchas Rachel, Bain Sheni Liakov. Then she has a second son for Yaakov. Vatomer Rachel, Naftule Elokim, Neftalti Imachosi, Gam Yacholti, Vatakra Shemo Naftali. Now, I'm just going to read you the English. It means, Rachel said, With divine bonds, I have been joined to my sister, and I have prevailed, and she calls the child Naphtali. The summary of the psukim here, which is what we're going to address, is that Rachel was upset that she couldn't have children, and part of the reason why she was upset was because she looked at her sister, at Leah, and Leah was having an easy time. She asked Yaakov to give her children, and she's very dramatic. She says, I am dead. If that's not the case. And for some reason, Yaakov gets angry at her. It says, Vayichar af Yaakov b'Rachel. He says, am I in place of God? Instead, she decides to go the Bilha route. And she gives Bilha to Yaakov, and they have children through Bilha, and she names them, and she raises them. Okay? The question is, what's the purpose of the Torah telling us this struggle? And what is the back and forth? How do we explain the back and forth between Rachel and Yaakov in the story? That Rachel was asking Yaakov to do something and Yaakov was getting upset. Why was Yaakov getting upset? And how do we explain his response to Rachel? Anybody have any other questions on the Psukim? I think another question that we're going to take up is... Yes, go ahead.
Did you say that she made him, that God judged her favorably? Is that what she felt?
Yeah, by Dun. When she had Dun, she felt like she was judged. We're going to see in Rashi, but she felt that she was judged favorably by being able to have a child through Bilha. And that's why she calls him Dun.
Oh, okay. Oh.
But it's interesting, I think it's interesting that the Torah says that she went, that she chose to give Bilha, instead of dealing with her pain or ignoring her pain or moving past her pain, she decides to give Bilha to Yaakov, and that somehow worked, or there's some reason for that. And we'll try to explain that idea. Okay, so look at number two. Rashi. We'll do Rashi's approach first. I'm going to read through the Rashi. There's a lot of questions on the Rashi's, but I think there's a key idea, a key point in Rashi to explain the whole area. Look at number two, Pasuk Aleph. Vatekanei Rachel ba'achosa. Kina b'ma'aseh ha'tovim. She was jealous of Leah's good deeds. Amra, and she said, Ilulei shetzadka mimeni lo zachsa levanim. If not for the fact that she's greater than me, that she's more righteous than me, she would not have children, meaning that the reason why Leah is having more children is because she's more righteous, and Rachel was jealous of that righteousness. She wanted to be on that level. Okay, what's problematic about that, Rashi? If she wants to be on Leah's level, so tell her to work on herself and do more mitzvos. And what is this? What is going to Yaakov and saying, give me children, that's going to make her better than Leah now? Is she, if she recognizes that she's on a lower level than Leah, the advice that Yaakov should say to her is, you know, work on yourself, get to a higher level, and then you'll be on Leah's level and you'll have children. Why is she bypassing, or it seems like she's not, if she's jealous of that point or that fact, then Yaakov should make her aware of it and she should have to work on herself. But instead, she asks for children and Yaakov responds differently. Okay, so that's one question. One question on Rashi is, Rachel was jealous of the good deeds that Leah had, and as a result of Leah's good deeds, she had children. Rachel's jealous of the good deeds. But if she's jealous of the good deeds, she should just work on herself, perfect herself, perfect her midos, do tshuva, and then perhaps she'll have children too. Okay, so she goes to Yaakov instead of working on herself. She says, Havali, look at Rashi, v'chikach asa avicha le'imecha, v'halo hispalel aleha. She's referencing the fact that Yitzchak and Rivka had trouble having children. And what was the response of Yitzchak and Rivka? They both were mispalel, and Yitzchak was mispalel for Rivka. And the Torah tells us over there that Hashem listened to the tefillah of Yitzchak. So Rachel's going to Yaakov and saying, listen, your parents did the same thing. Your father was mispalel for your mother, so you should do the same for me. Mesa anochi, mikan lemisha in lo banim shechashav kames. And this is an idea that anybody who doesn't have children is considered like they're dead. Okay, so two questions here. One is, anybody have any questions on the Rashi? If you have a question, please ask. One question is, why is she, Rachel, comparing this situation to his parents? Just say, be mispalel for me. Why compare it to the situation of Avicha and Imecha? If she wants Yaakov to be mispalel, to have children, just go to Yaakov and say, I want to have children. Can you be mispalel for me? Why is she referencing his father and his mother in the story? And then this strange idea, Mikan lemisha in lo banim shechashav kames. What does it mean that a person who doesn't have boys is considered like they're dead? And we're going to explain that idea. I think that's a key idea in understanding Rashi. So hold on to that question. If anybody has an answer after we go through the Rashi, so share the answer and maybe it'll give us insight. What does it mean that a person, a woman or a man who doesn't have a boy or doesn't have boys, they're considered like they're dead, they're kames? Okay, so what's his response? What's Yaakov's response? Hasachas Elokim Anochi, look in Beis, in number two. He says, Hasachas Elokim Anochi, v'chibim komo ani, am I in Hashem's place? Asher mana mimech, at amart she'eseh ke'aba. You're saying that I should do like my father, I should be like Yitzchak, I should be mispalel for you. Ani eini ka'aba, I'm not like my father. Aba lo hayu lo banim. My father did not have any children. Ani yesh li banim, I do. Mimech mana v'lo mimeni. From me, Hashem has not withheld children, because I have through Leah, but from you, he's withheld. It's kind of harsh, Yaakov saying to Rachel in a very harsh way, listen, it's not my responsibility. I have what I need. I have children. And I don't really have to be mispalel for you. It's really your responsibility to be mispalel, because it's the reason is coming from you. So why is Yaakov so harsh to Rachel? What's he trying to tell her by giving her this harsh response? Okay, we're going to keep going, and we'll stop at the end of the Rashi's. We'll explain it. Look at number Gimel. Number two, Pasuk Gimel. Al Birkai, Kitarkumo V'ana Arabe. So Rachel decides to raise the children of Bilhah. The Ibane Gam Anochi. Mahu Gam. What is the word Gam in I will also raise them and build from them? Amro lo Zikenecha Avraham Hayulo Banim Mehagar. So now she's referencing Avraham. Your grandfather Avraham had already children from Hagar. V'chigir Masnav Kineged Sarah. And he decided to be Mispalel. He girded his loins, which I think means he was Mispalel for Sarah. Amar lo Zakanti. And he said, Yaakov said back, listen, my grandmother, she allowed her tsara, meaning Hagar, the sister wife, to come into her house and have children. Amro lo, so then Rachel responds, Im hadavar hazem akiv, if this is the reason why I can't have children, hine amasi vilha. I'm going to let vilha be with you. The ibane gam anochi mimena kisara. And also, I'll be like Sarah, and I'll build through Bilha's children. Just like Sarah built through Hagar, I'm going to build through Bilhah's children. Again, the question is, why is she referencing back to Avraham? What happened with Avraham And how is this going to solve the issue? How is this going to solve the problem of her not having children by taking this tzara? Okay, and lastly, the last idea is Danani Elokim, which somebody asked before, says Danani v'chayvani v'zachani. Okay, so she's saying that she was judged, and in the end, she was merited. It was for because she had a child through Bilhah. V'chayvani v'zachani. Okay, at first I guess she was guilty, and then she was merited. I think that's how you read it. Danani v'chayvani v'zachani. So eventually she had a child through Bilhah. So what's the significance of this name, of Dan, after she goes through this whole ordeal? Okay, so there's a lot of questions on Rashi. Rashi's just painting you the picture of what's going on, saying that really she was upset because she was jealous of her sister's good deeds, and question is, why not just work on yourself? Then she tries to reference Yaakov's parents, and Yaakov's response is very harsh. Listen, my father didn't have children, but I do have children, so worry about it yourself. Why does he respond in that way? And then when she takes Bilhah and she gives it to gives her to Yaakov as a wife, she's following the path of Sarah. And there's a reference in Rashi to this back and forth between Yaakov and Rachel. And by doing this, it would help her have children. So why is that the case? Why, by doing this, would it help her have children? Okay. Anybody have any answers for the questions? Any of the questions? I think that one of the questions that I asked before was the mace. What does it mean that a person who doesn't have any boys is chash of kames? It's a Gemara. But look at number three. I'm not going to explain anything, but I just want to see it inside in the source. The source is Nedarim in number three. Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, Ko Adam she'in lo banim chashuv kames. Any man, any person, individual who doesn't have boys is considered like they're dead. Shenemar, Hava li vanim v'im ayin mesa anochi. And if not, then I am dead. It's as if they're dead already. And the Maharsha just explains from the Lashon in number four. He says, it doesn't mean that I'm going to die out of pain. It doesn't mean she's going to commit suicide or anything, but it means that she feels dead. Aval mesa hu shem ha-toar. Vim ayin ani nikres mesa al she'in li banim. She calls herself a mace. She considers herself dead because she doesn't have any boys. So why is that the case? Why is a person who doesn't have boys considered like they're dead? Okay, answers. Somebody on the phone line. Why is it that if you don't have boys, you're considered dead, like a mace? Any possibilities?
The family name won't be carried on.
Good. Okay, Emily's giving a good answer. The family name won't be carried on. Okay, good. So what is the family name? What's that idea? Why is it so important? I think it's more important for a man than a woman, but why is it so important that the family name be carried on? It's an idea in immortality, right? It's an idea in... it's an idea in that when you die, it's like final. There's a finality to death, but when your family name is carried on, especially through the boys, when the family name is carried on, it's not just the family name, but it's also there's a difference between a woman. When a woman gets married, she's considered like in the reshus of the husband that she goes to, but a boy is always considered like the family name. It's always considered in his own reshus in halachic sense. And therefore, you don't feel like you're dead if you have boys. You feel like you'll live beyond your death. But if you don't have any boys, if you're without boys, you feel dead. Why do you feel dead? You feel dead because you feel like there's a finality to your life, that there's nothing that's going to go beyond your death. There's nothing for you beyond your death, when your life ends. So the idea of Chashuv Kames is an idea that you lose out on that feeling of immortality. You lose out on that feeling that you'll exist beyond your death. And you can only feel that way if you have banim because of the idea of the family name and other ideas, philosophical ideas and psychological ideas. So she's saying this. She's saying, "Yim'ayin mesa anochi." So what's the problem with that? And how do we explain this back and forth? And she's going to the whole story of Yitzchak and Rivka and Avraham and Sarah. Why is she referencing those stories? What's going on here? How do we explain this?
The fact that his parents had problems, then it would be more like on him.
Okay. Well, no, before she says that, she thinks that Leah was on a higher level than her. So she's tying it to the fact that she's not on as high of a level, I think, in number two, right? We saw it in Rashi. So she is, and what do you think? What is the reason why she didn't have children? What do you think the reason is?
Well,
I mean, to me, it seems the reason is that it was to try to, I guess, make her work on herself and to get her to perfect herself. She had some type of flaw that she needed to work on, and by not having children, although it was painful for her, there was some benefit in terms of her own perfection, ultimately, and in terms of her, when she does have children, in terms of how they contribute to Klal Yisrael. Okay, so what's going on here? Let's try, I'm going to try an approach to explain Rashi. So I think the idea that Rashi is referencing is that if we think back to Yitzchak and Rivka, or we think back to Sarah and Avraham, let's go back to Sarah and Avraham. By Sarah and Avraham and Hagar, it was clear that Hagar wasn't going to have, who had Yishmael wasn't going to be the leader of the Zera Avraham. He wasn't really going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. He didn't have the internally the personality traits to be the leader, but also he didn't come from the same level of perfection, the same high level as Sarah. Sarah was on a much higher level than Hagar. And your parents form the child. They help raise the child. The midos of the child are reflective of the parents. And there's a clear distinction between Hagar and Sarah. Sarah was on a very high level, and Hagar was not on a low level, but she was lower than Sarah. Sarah was Sarah Imenu. The idea there by Avraham and Sarah is that in order for Avraham's legacy to continue and Avraham's philosophy to continue through a child, it would have to be through Sarah because of Sarah's perfection and Sarah's level. I keep saying perfection, but Sarah's level and her greatness. Because of her greatness, therefore, the child had to come through Sarah. It could not come through Hagar, the child that would lead Klal Yisrael. And so too by Rivka and Yitzchak, it had to be that the child came from Rivka. Of course, there was no other woman in that situation, but Rivka had to be the mother because of her level and her greatness. She also had to be the mother of the next generation who kept the philosophy going. Now, what's Rachel's argument? Rachel believed, I believe based on Rashi, that it was necessary for her to have children in order for the Mesorah, in order for the Jewish nation to continue on. She thought of herself, she was on a very high level, and she did have a lot of extremely great qualities. She was one of our Imahos, but at this point, she's comparing herself to Leah, and she says, Leah was greater than I am. She senses her emotion is that she feels that she wants her personality to be expressed in an eternal manner in Klal Yisrael. And the only way that you can do that is if you have children. If you don't have children, then you don't have your personality and your greatness go beyond yourself. It stays within yourself. Once Rachel were to die, then she would be not forgotten, but there would be a limit in terms of her passing on her qualities and her greatness. But she believed that it was necessary for her to pass her qualities on to the future, and it was necessary in order for Klal Yisrael to continue to persist, in order for the philosophy to continue and Klal Yisrael to be formed. She had to be the one to have children, and it wasn't good enough that Leah would have children. Similar to Sarah and Hagar, and similar to why Rivka had to have children, because it was necessary for Rivka to be the mother of the nation, Rachel believed the same thing about herself. And you might say, oh, that's tremendously egocentric, but however, Rachel was honest, and she was on a high level, and she was a great person. She believed that it was necessary. It was necessary for her to have children, and for her lasting, her greatness to be reflected through children in order for the philosophy to continue on. And that's why she keeps referencing, you know, her Yaakov's parents, Yitzchak and Rivka. She's comparing herself to Rivka. She's saying, I'm like Rivka. The nation will only continue if I have children, if my good deeds and my personality is reflected in the child, and the child will be great as a result of that. But Yaakov's response, why is Yaakov so harsh? Because Yaakov is showing Rachel that it's a very different situation going on here. See, Yaakov is saying that in terms of Klal Yisrael, Leah is no slouch. You know, Leah is on a very high level. Leah's children are part of the Mesorah. They're not any less than Rachel. And the fact that Rachel feels like this is necessary is wrong. It's wrong. It's inappropriate. And Yaakov is showing her through his argument back, no, I do have children. It's not that the world can't exist if you don't have children. It's not that Klal Yisrael can't exist if you don't have children. No, Leah is also a great person. She's not like Hagar. She's on a higher level. She's one of the Imahos. And because Leah's on that level, And I have children, the Mesorah and Klal Yisrael could continue to persist even without you, even if you don't have children. And the fact that Rachel believed that or felt that way was a flaw within her. Okay, so what happens? She decides to take on an extra, or give her maidservant to Yaakov and build through that. So what is that? What's the purpose of that? So the purpose of that is that she had to kind of divorce, she had to separate her self-importance from raising the child. When you have there's a big difference between adopting a child and having a natural child. You know, when you have a natural child, you feel a lot more identification with the child. The child is like an extension of the self, and that's really what Rachel was looking for. And that's what Rachel really wanted, or she believed was necessary. And when she takes Bilhah and she gives her to Yaakov and raises the child, she's accepting, it's the first step to her tshuva and to her working on her flaw, but she's accepting the fact that she could have a child and she could, and her personality and her greatness can be reflected not just biologically, but through raising the child as well. And that's the first step in her tshuva. The first step in her tshuva is to act like Sarah, that Sarah wasn't tied to the self in terms of having another child, in terms of continuing Klal Yisrael, but she was more tied to raising a child, more tied to giving over the ideas that make the child great, as opposed to the child being an extension of the self. So that's the whole back and forth between Rachel and Yaakov. Rachel believed and maintained that she was on a high level and it was necessary for her to have children, natural biological children, for the nation to continue to grow and to persist, for Klal Yisrael to succeed. And Yaakov saying no. To have that impression is false because of Leah's level. And I already have children and the Mesorah can continue through those children alone. And furthermore, you have to work on this. And there's this back and forth. And the first way that Rachel works on her flaw is by giving up this idea of I need to have an extension of myself and just raising the child and adopting a child and raising them and giving her good values onto the child. Okay? All right. Can you put your mute button on, please? Hello? Hello, whoever's on the phone line, can you put your mute button on? Thank you. Okay, anybody have any questions? Or thoughts on that approach? Differences? Anybody? Okay. Okay, so that's Rashi's. Rashi's idea of Rachel's struggle with her infertility was to try to affect her perspective on, you know, her value and her importance in terms of having children for the future of Klal Yisrael. Now, the Ramban is a little bit of a different approach, different than Rashi. Look at number 5 in the Ramban. The Ramban says, Havali vanim, amra mefarshim shis balal alai. The mefarshim say that she asked Yaakov to be misbalal for her. Vim ayin meis anochi, lashon Rashi, shemisha in lo banim chashav kemes. He quotes Rashi, v'hu midrash rabosinu, v'ani tama, I am bewildered by this. Im kein lama chara apo. The Lama Amar Asachas Elokim Anochi. Why is Yaakov so angry? It was our question. Why does he get so angry at her if she's just asking him to be Mispalel? Vishomea El Tzadikim Hashem. Hashem listens to the tefillah of Tzadikim. So why was he so angry? Umasha Amar Abba Lo Hayu Lo Banim Ani Yeshli Banim. His response: Mimech Mana Mimeni Lo Mana V'chiyat Tzadikim Einan Mispalelim Ba'aracherim. Why did he respond that way? Why didn't he just daven for her? She's asking to be Mispalel. So why shouldn't Yaakov daven? V'nei Eliyahu ve'Elisha ispalu be'anoshim nachrios. You see that the prophets of Eliyahu and Elisha, they would even be mispalu for random women. They wouldn't just be mispalu for their wives, but even random women. So why shouldn't Yaakov be mispalu for her? V'nira, it appears, shebishvil zeh tafsu rabosinu. Amru beverishus rabba, amru lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kach onenes ha'meikos, chayecha shebanecha asidin lamo lifnei b'na. So Yaakov is criticized in the Medrash for answering Rachel in this manner. And it says, Hashem said to Yaakov, this is how you answer those who are in stress and oppressed, like Rachel. Chayecha, by your life, shebanecha, your children will stand in front of her child. As a reference, I think, to the future in Mitzrayim. The first point that the Ramban's saying is that Yaakov is really wrong. He wasn't wrong. He wasn't wrong in his response. He was wrong in the anger and the way that he responded. It showed a lack of sensitivity, according to the Ramban, sensitivity to Rachel's feelings, to how Rachel really felt. But he wasn't really wrong. We're going to read on in the Ramban. He wasn't really wrong in his answer to Rachel. Let's go on in the Ramban. It's the next paragraph. V'alderech apshat, amr Rachel Yaakov sheyitein lo banim. Rachel said to Yaakov, give me children. Uve emes daita lemor sheyisbal alav. Her das, her was that he should daven for her. Aval sheyisbal at sheyitein lo banim al kopanim. He should daven really hard to the point where it would be a guarantee that she have children. Vim ayin should tamis atom bitzar. She's saying, if not, I'm going to die out of pain. Dibra shaloka hogen bekinasa. She spoke inappropriately in her jealousy. She was too dramatic. The chashva, and she thought, ki ba'havaso osa, in his love of her, Yaakov's love, yisani Yaakov, he would fast, v'yilbash sakva efer, and he would wear sackcloth and put on dirt and dust and ash, v'yispalas and ash, or v'yispala achiyu labonim shalotamas bitzara, and he would daven to the point where she wouldn't be suicidal. And that was her approach. She was trying to get Yaakov to daven so hard out of his love for her. And Vayichar af Yaakov, he gets upset. She ain't tefilas atzadikim biyadam she tishma v'tane al kol panim. First of all, a tzadik's tefillah isn't a guarantee. Uba'avor she dibra derech yuge anashim ha'huvos la'afchido b'misasa charapo. And the fact that she tried to manipulate him by scaring him and saying, I'm going to commit suicide if you don't do this, that got him angry. Ulchach amar la, that's why he said, she'enu b'makom elokim, she'ifgod ha'akaros ha'kol panim. That he's not in place of Hashem to answer all of the barren women. Ve'enenu choshesh b'davar, ki mimena nimna priyabaten v'lo mimenu. And he says to her, he basically makes it clear that it's not because of me, it's because of you. I have children. Vizeli Yasser Osa Ulachlimo is to shame her and also to prevent her from continuing in in nagging him and bothering him. Vinea Tzadekes Bir Osa Shlotuchal Di Samechal Tilas Yaakov Shabaldispal Atma Kel Shomea Tsaka Vizo Vayishma Eleha Elohim. So when she recognized that Yaakov, she couldn't rely on Yaakov's tefillah, she had to daven for herself. And then eventually Hashem answers her tefillah. That's why it says Vayishma Eleha Elohim. Elohim. Okay, so the Ramban's saying that what was the reason or what was Rachel's approach? She was jealous of her sister, but what was she trying to do? She was trying to get Yaakov to daven and express his love for her through the tefillah to the point where he was in pain, where he was misane, he was fasting, and he's in sakva efer. And he was upset that she was trying to manipulate him in that way. Well, where is this coming from? Where is this idea that Rachel is getting? What is the kinnah? Where does it come from that she had of Leah at this point? So there's another Ramban. I'm just going to answer that question. And I think you just have to know the Rambans. There's another Ramban before, in number 6, where it expresses or it demonstrates Yaakov's relationship with Leah. Look at number 6 in the source sheets. It says, Kisnua Leah, Leah was hated. Hine Leah Ramsa Ba'achosa Gam Yaakov. Leah, she tricked her sister. This is not according to the Medrash that Rachel knew. And also Yaakov. Kim nemar shenaga kavod be'avia, she'achaz ba v'chnisa elav ve'al tamer bo. Maybe you'll say that it was a good thing that she listened to her father and she showed respect for her father and she didn't rebel. Hayala lahagid olirmos ki Leah. She should have told Yaakov that she was Leah. Af ki haisa misnakeres kol ha'layla ulefichach lo hikira achira usababokir. And to the point where she wasn't even recognized until the morning. She should have said something. V'lachin son of Yaakov. And that's why Yaakov hated her. Yaakov hated her initially because of the fact that she lied to Yaakov. V'halokim yodea ki li nase elat tzadik asasakein v'richem aleha. Hashem knew that she just wanted to be close and married to the tzadik. And therefore he has mercy on Leah. V'chach amru b'vreshis rabba. It says this in Vreshis rabba. Kevon shira Yaakov ma'asim shiramsa Leah ba'achosa nasan daito legarsha. When Yaakov saw that Leah tricked him, he wanted to divorce her. The chevon shepakta kadosh baruch hu b'vanim. Once Hashem gave Leah children and boys, Amar, he said, le'iman shel elu ani megarish, to the mother of these children, I'm going to divorce. V'zetam vayar lo kim, ki chamal aleha shelo ya'azvena. That's why it says Vayar Lokim, that Hashem had kindness and on her so that he wouldn't leave her. Wow, this is a strong Ramban, very powerful, saying that really Yaakov was going to divorce Leah initially because of the fact that Leah lied. But once she started having children, the Medrash says that he saw her having children. He said, how could I divorce the mother of these children? So what is the Ramban? What's the point of the Ramban? And how does it fit into the other Ramban that we were reading? So Yaakov's perception of Leah changed. A lot of times you look at somebody in some way and then an event occurs and it changes your perspective and your perception of that person because now they take on a different role. And that's what happened with Leah. Leah, as a wife, Yaakov did not respect her. He did not, it seems like he was angry. He hated her because of the way that she treated them, the way that she treated him in the relationship. But once he saw that her role changed and she became a mother, he loved her in a different way. He loved her because his perspective of her changed. So now I think that fits into the Ramban before. How does it fit in? You see, Rachel, she was jealous of her sister. And the jealousy of her sister didn't come from the fact that she had more children, but it came from the fact that she saw Yaakov's love of Leah growing because she had children. She saw that Yaakov loved Leah and saw Leah in a different light because she had children. And that's why, if you look at the Ramban before, that's why, what was her intention? Her intention was to get Yaakov to be mispalo to the point that he was fasting and to the point that he was wearing sackcloth. And he was in the dirt, in the dumps. Why? Because she wanted him to express his love for her. And that demonstrated insecurity in Rachel. It demonstrated insecurity in Rachel. On the one hand, Rachel was always the one who was loved by Yaakov. But once she saw that Leah was having children, and the Ramban says that once Leah had children, Yaakov's perspective of Leah changed, and his love of Leah grew. Because now he looked at her in a different way. Now that created an insecurity in Rachel. And that's why it says, "Vatikane Rachel b'achusa." She wasn't jealous necessarily of the fact that she was having children, but she was jealous of the love that Yaakov now had for Leah. She wanted to remain ha'huva, and she didn't want. There was a part of her that didn't want Leah and Yaakov's love for Leah to grow, and she felt insecure about that. And that's why she's trying to manipulate him. And Yaakov's response is so harsh. Of course, Yaakov was wrong. He was wrong in that he shouldn't have been so harsh in his response. But on the other hand, Rachel had a flaw here. Rachel's flaw was that she couldn't tolerate the fact that Yaakov loved her sister and that his love for her sister was growing. And that's why the Ramban, I think, fits in. Those two Rambans, they fit in with one another. Okay, so we have two approaches here, the Ramban and Rashi. Rashi's saying that the flaw that Rachel possessed was one where she felt that it was necessary for her to have children, biological children, for the nation to continue. Whereas the Ramban saying that the flaw that Rachel had, that she had to work on, was that she felt insecure and threatened by Yaakov's increasing love of Leah because of her motherhood and because of her having children. And she wanted that love, and she's trying to push Yaakov to express his love through the tefillah. And of course, that was a flaw, and she was wrong in that sense. Yes.
But isn't it true that, especially in those days, women's only role was to have children? So of course she would feel that way.
Well, I don't know what does it mean women's only role was to have? That's not true. I mean, Sarah was on a higher level of Nevuah than Avraham. She was a Navi.
But a woman who couldn't have children in those days, the whole goal was to get married. I mean, today...
Right. So that's why I would say that if you look in the Psukim, if it just said that she was upset that she didn't have children, that wouldn't be so bad. But the fact is, it says Vatikane Rachel ba'achosa, that there was some jealousy that she had of her sister. That was the source of her unhappiness, and that's why it was so exaggerated, the pain. That's what the Torah is trying to tell us. The Torah is trying to tell us that it's not the fact that she wanted to have children. Of course, she wanted to have children. It's normal. It's natural. You should want to have children. But her desire to have children wasn't pure. It was also from a jealousy that she had. Either it was a jealousy that she thought that Leah's perfection would be immortalized through having children, and she wouldn't have that, or she was jealous of the love. But those are, I think, secondary reasons why you should want to have children. But if she just wanted to have children, I agree with you, if she just wanted to have children, if she said, I really need to have children, I feel a void, then that would have been okay. I don't think Yaakov would have responded so harshly. But the way that she's saying it, and the fact that it stems from a kina, which is the reason why she's expressing it, she's so dramatic and she's trying to push Yaakov, is because it's coming from a jealousy. It's coming from the wrong emotion. Okay, does that answer the question? Okay. I'll take that as a yes. Okay. So now what happens when she actually has children? Let's just go to that. We'll try to explain that a little bit. What happens based on Rashi? There's no real Ramban on that, or I didn't find a Ramban on that. But I saw Rashi, and there's another parish that I thought was interesting. If you look in number 7, we'll start from the Pasuk Chaf Aleph in Perek Lamed. It says, V'achar yalda bas v'atikra shema Dina. Leah had a daughter named Dina. Rashi says, we're going to explain this to Rashi, Pirshi Rabbosinu, number 8, she dana Leah din ba'atma im ze zachar lo tehe racha achosi ka'achas ha'shvachos v'sbalo v'nepach l'nekeva. Leah wanted her sister to not be embarrassed and not have less than the other maidservants. Therefore, Dina became a bas. She was supposed to be a boy, and then she became a girl. Okay? What's the significance of that? We're going to explain. Look in Chav Beis. Vayiskor Elokim es Rachel, Vayishma Yileh Elokim, Vayiftach es Rachma. Hashem listens to the tefillah of Rachel, and her womb is opened. Vatar vatele bein vatomer asaf Elokim es Cherpasi. Hashem has stored my shame, according to Rashi. Vatikra shemo Yosef lemor Yosef Hashem li bein acher. She calls him Yosef as to say that Hashem should add another child to her, should give her another child. She's already thinking about the future, another child. So if you look in Chav Beis, this is very interesting. Chav Beis in Rashi. Number 8. It says, Vayiskor Elokim es Rachel. Zachar lo, what did he remember? What did Hashem remember about Rachel? Shemasra simaneha l'achusa. She gave the signs to her sister. That's one thing. When Leah was, according to Rashi, when Leah was with Yaakov, Rachel gave her the signs in order that Yaakov believed that she was Rachel. That way, Leah could be included in the, you know, be married to Yaakov and be included in the Shvatim and in the Imahos. That's one thing that he remembered. V'shahaisa mitzira shelo tala begoralo shel Esav. She was in pain. She was in tsar because she thought that she was going to end up with Esav. Shema yigarshenu Yaakov l'fisha in labanim. She was nervous that Yaakov would divorce her because she didn't have children. V'af Esav arasha kach ala baliba. And Esav knew about this because she shema she'in labanim. He heard that when she didn't have any children, she was going to be open. She was going to be single again. Hu shi'aser ha'payit ha'admon kibat shelo chala tzaba lekachtalov v'nisba'ala. And there's a piyut that says that Esav was very excited when he heard that Rachel wasn't having children, and Rachel was terrified. She didn't want to end up with Esav. Okay, so what is this? How do we explain this? This strange matter. It says two things. One is, why was her tefillah remembered? Because of the fact that she gave the signs to her sister, and also she was in pain because of the fact that she might end up with Esav. Is it true? Would she really end up with Esav? Was that a real possibility? It seems very far-fetched. And what are we trying to? What is the Torah trying to tell us about her tefillah? So I think this fits in with her flaw, according to Rashi. We said her flaw was that she was too tied to the idea of having children was too tied to the self. That it was important. She believed that it was necessary for her to be part of the Shvatim and one of the Imahos, and it was necessary for her to have children through her, that they would continue on with the Mesorah, with the tradition, with forming Klal Yisrael. So what's Rashi saying? Rashi is saying the two ideas in selflessness on the part of Rachel. One was that she was able to give up on personal emotions to allow her sister to have a better life. And that was an expression of selflessness, which is the opposite of what her flaw was, which was somewhat selfish, looking at it as a necessity that, you know, the children be biological and come from her. And the other idea is not, I don't know if it literally means that she would be with Esav, but it means that she contemplated the possibility of not being part of the system, of not being married to Yaakov, and not being part of the Shvatim, and not being one of the Imahos. And that was necessary for her in order for her to finally have children. She had to go to the opposite extreme. Not only did she not have to, she had to raise children, non-biological children, but she had to recognize that it wasn't a necessity for her to have children. There's a possibility for her to not even be included in this great process of creating the Shvatim. She could have gone to Esav, meaning Yaakov would have divorced her. I don't know if it's literal, but it means that Rachel was able to accept that. She was able to see that it was a possibility that she not be necessary. That it not be necessary that she be included and that she be willing to accept that. And from that type of tefillah, from a tefillah of selflessness, of a person who's selfless, who's willing to give up on, you know, her relationship with her husband so that her sister has a has a portion in the Shvatim, and also being able to contemplate not being married to Yaakov and not being part of the Shvatim. Those are two extreme expressions of selflessness on the part of Rachel. And because she was mispala from that state and she achieved that state, therefore, at that point, she warranted children. So it was really a transformation of Rachel from one extreme, I guess, to the other extreme. And by the time she actually has children, she's willing to put herself aside. And at that point, she warrants children. She warrants having children. And I think that's the idea over here of Rachel's transformation of her. That's why the Torah, according to Rashi, is telling us of this whole struggle. I just wanted to mention another pshat that I saw in the Toldos Yitzchak, who's a different pirush on the Parsha. And I just thought it was very interesting. He has a different approach to... I think there's a similarity with Rashi. Look at number 9. He says, Vatar batelet bein vatomer asaf elokim escher pasi. Asaf elokim escher pasi. Bezeh pasuk, with regard to this pasuk, navochu kol mefarshim. All the mefarshim are perplexed. V'itachin shebizmanahu hayakol ish nosei shtei nashim. At that time, men would marry two women. Ke'omram zal, as it said in Bereishis Rabbah, al pasuk vayikach lo lemech shtei nashim ada v'tzila. Lemech had two wives, ada and tzila. Kach hayadarchan shel dor hamabo. The Dor HaMabel also, everyone had two wives. Achas l'piriyah v'rivya, one was to have children. V'achas l'tashmish, the other one was to be intimate with. V'zos shehi l'tashmish, the one that was just there for physical connection, physical intimacy. Hayu mashkin osa koshel akrin k'desha te'akir u'mekashta k'kala u'machila ma'adanim. That wife, she would drink something that would make her barren, not be able to have children. And also she would be beautified like a kala, and she would be fed very good food. She was kept to be beautiful. V'chaverta, her sister wife, Nezufa v'avla ka'almana, she was treated in a degrading manner. And she was like a widow. Hu shepirish iov roe akara lo seled v'almana lo yetiv. Ada hi shal piri of rivya. Ada was for pruervu, ashem shemeguna alav, umoseras mi ma'achalo. Ada tirgum shal surah, tzila hi shal tashmish, ashem shiosheves tamid betzila. So tzila and Ada, the two wives of Lamech, Ada was the one that was used for having more children, and tzila was the beautiful one only for intimacy. The alzos ha'akdama, with this introduction, Namar, shekachayu omrim leitzanei ador. At the time of Yaakov, that's what the leitzanei ador, the scoffers of the generation were saying. Yaakov yeshlo shtei nashim, Yaakov has two women. Rachel, she yafe hilo letashmish. Rachel, who was beautiful, she was yifas tor, yifas mare, she was just for physical intimacy. V'lachin ena yoledes, shehishka la koshel ikarim. That's why she's not having children, because she had a surgery, you know, her tubes were tied by this drug. V'leya, she yoledes, v'ena yafe hayelo levanim. But Leia was there for children. V'zos cherpa gedola, she'im kein haisa gizona etzla. This was very degrading to Rachel. It was almost like Rachel was a prostitute for Yaakov. V'ata shiyalda yomra tovim shvehem tipach atmosan shel bale lashon hara v'zeh asaf elokim escher pasi v'zeh inan chashav mehod. Once she had a child, so there was an idea in, turning over the bones of the bale lashon hara, and that's what it means, asaf elokim escher pasi. That God has, I guess, taken away or stored my shame. V'zeh inan chashav mehod. So no, that's a very interesting idea. The Toldos Yitzchak is saying that what happened here? Why did Rachel have children at this point? Because the perception of her was turning. It's one thing for her to feel like her greatness should be expressed, but it's another thing when people are looking at her and degrading her. And there was a point in time where others were looking at her in a degradatory manner. They were saying that she's just there for physical intimacy, and I would assume that Rachel was aware of that, and she was. And at that point, it was almost inappropriate for Rachel to not have children. At that point, it was the right time for Rachel to have children, so that she not be looked at in a degradatory fashion. She not be looked at as simply, you know, a zona for Yaakov. And that's the Toldos Yitzchak's idea of what's going on here. So that's really the shir, the end of the shir tonight. Let me just summarize quickly what the shir was about. The shir took up and explained the struggle of Rachel with her infertility or inability to have children. And initially, she had a flaw, and the Torah is expressing her flaw. Either she maintained that she was like Rivka and like Sarah, and it had to be that she had children. It had to be that her perfection, her greatness, would be immortalized through having children, would be reflected in her children in order for a Klal Yisrael to continue. And that was what she felt, but she was wrong. Yaakov pushes her off and says that that's the wrong idea. And she transitions into having a child through Bilha. And the other, the Ramban, was saying that it was an idea in jealousy over the love that Yaakov had for Leah. And she recognized that Yaakov's perception of Leah changed, and he loved her more. And Rachel was upset, she was insecure. And that's why she was so angry, and she wanted to push Yaakov to the brink. But when she finally has children, according to Rashi, the transformation is complete. She's seen as a selfless person. And the reasons why her tefillah were answered was because she was able to give up on her relationship with Yaakov for the benefit of her sister. And furthermore, she was able to contemplate the possibility of being married to Esav, even though she was terrified of it, but she was able to contemplate it. She didn't assume anymore that she was a necessity for Klal Yisrael and that having children was a necessity, but she assumed that it would be, a chesed Hashem for her to have children, and it wasn't necessary for her to be married. And at that point, she had a child, and she reached a high level of greatness, and she warranted a child. And the last idea was the Tolos Yitzchak, which is the idea that at a certain point, it became a degradation of Rachel, that she did not have children. Before that, she was just, it was okay. She wasn't looked at as in a negative way, but at a certain point, she started being looked at in a negative way. And at that point, according to the Tolos Yitzchak, she had to have children. It was necessary for her to have children in order that her greatness not be taken away from it. It not be deducted. We don't deduct from her greatness. So that's the end of the shiur. Anybody have any questions on the shiur or different possibilities? Okay, so everybody have a good Shabbos. Thanks for calling in.